If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 6. The last time we were together, we read with you the portion of the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, which described for us the four horsemen of the apocalypse and the other horsemen, 5 and 6. We make a distinction when we refer to the four horsemen of the apocalypse because this is a term which is familiar to many people, even though they are not particularly interested in the teaching of the Word of God in relation to them. As we read the Word of God, we saw one horseman after another come forth to conquer and to conquer. We said, what were these horsemen? Were they individuals or were they movements? Today, we said, we were going to answer that question. So I'm going to suggest to you, as I turn to the book of Zechariah, that I believe these are not human riders, that they are not necessarily heavenly riders with distinct personalities, but rather, I believe they represent four distinct movements or four distinct occurrences that are going to come to pass upon the earth. The reason that I suggest that to you is found in Zechariah chapter 1. There we are introduced to the uses of horses and horsemen in relation to the providential government of God upon the earth. In Zechariah chapter 1 verse 8 we read, I saw by night, and behold, a man was riding upon a red horse. And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him there were red horses, speckled and white. Then said I, O my Lord, what are these? And the angel that talked with me said unto me, I will show thee what these be. And the man that stood among the myrtle trees answered and said, these are they whom the Lord hath sent to walk to and fro through the earth. And they answered the angel of the Lord that stood among the myrtle trees and said, we have walked to and fro through the earth, and behold, all the earth sitteth still in and is at rest. Now we'll stop our reading right there for the moment. When you have time, read the remaining portion of the word included in this section, and you will find that these individuals winding up and down through the earth found the earth completely at rest, and immediately the providential workings of God began to occur that brought about his plan and his purpose for the city of Jerusalem and its eventual reinstatement to glory. I suggest to you then that we need not look upon these horses in Revelation 6 as literal horses, nor need we look upon the riders of these horses as individuals. I suggest that we look upon them as movements to accomplish God's purpose on the earth. That they are not personalities, but abstract things, is brought to our attention even further. If you will notice the fourth horse and its rider. Notice in Revelation chapter 6, verse 7, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. Now listen carefully. I ask you, is death a personality? I think you will agree with me that it is not. This should suggest to us a key to these verses, that what we have before us are not individuals, but movements. Now, with that thought in mind, let us go back and notice the emergence of these horses as the various seals are open. In verse 1, then, of Revelation chapter 6, we read, And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four living creatures saying, Come. Now stop your reading right there. As I call to your attention that the words and see, which you have in your King James Version, are not in the original text. This was not an invitation to John to come and see something. He was already there, and his eyes were wide open. This was an invitation, rather, to the horse that was restrained by the first seal to come out of the place of restraint. What did John see when the invitation was given? Well, look at verse 2. I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth, conquering and to conquer. The first thing John saw was a white horse. Somebody was sitting on this white horse. The person sitting on this white horse had a bow in his hand, and later, at some future date, a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, if you are familiar with commentaries on the book of the Revelation, you will know that there are a number of suggestions as to the identity of this white horse and his rider. Some people will tell you that it is the Lord Jesus Christ, because in Revelation chapter 19, the Lord Jesus Christ is presented to us as riding on a white horse. I want to suggest to you that this is not the Lord Jesus Christ, because the book of the Revelation is a book of chronological occurrences, and the Lord Jesus Christ does not come back at the beginning of the tribulation. He comes back at the very end of it. When he comes back at the very end, we need not wonder who he is, because his name is written on his thigh, faithful and true, the word of the living God. Some people say that the rider on the white horse is the Antichrist, because it is said that he goes forth conquering and to conquer. We would suggest to you that it is not the Antichrist, because the Antichrist does not make his appearance publicly until the middle of the tribulation. When he makes his appearance, he does not begin in some mysterious fashion. People know who he is. In view of these two statements, and in view of the fact that I believe the Word of God suggests that these horsemen and their riders represent not individuals but movements, I would suggest to you that this verse 2 of Revelation chapter 6 indicates a great peace movement that will sweep the earth and give everybody a false sense of security. I would like for you to notice the bow in the hands of the rider. This bow is a symbol of long-distance warfare. I would like for you to notice, too, that it is a bow without an arrow, which would indicate that no actual fighting takes place. I would suggest to you that verse 2 of Revelation 6 represents a war. But it is not a war of ideas, not a war of arms, rather. It is a war of ideas, a war of ideology that will bring a sense of security upon the earth. And I ask you something. Are we not being prepared for that very thing today? For are we not engaged in a war of our ideas today? Are we not familiar with the phrase, the war for the minds of men? Are we not balancing one idea against another? Is there not a certain sense of security abroad in the world today, because men do not take up guns on the battlefields and fight wars, universally speaking? They debate in the United Nations assemblies instead. Instead of taking bayonets and piercing people through, they take off their shoes, as a world leader did some time ago, and beat upon the desks in the hall of the United Nations. Now, is this not what we see here in chapter 6, where it will be fulfilled in its entirety? I believe that we are being prepared today for the rider on the white horse by our current war of ideas. I would like to suggest to you that this war of ideas is going to be successful. For we are told that the writer went forth conquering to conquer. That indicates he was victorious. We are told that this writer also had a crown given to him, which indicates his suggestions have been accepted. Our minds are being geared for the idea of a one-world government. We seem to be afraid that if we relinquish our armed forces, we might be subjugated by another nation. I say to you that we are being subjugated to a world government idea. And that subjugation is inevitable in the face of the world, the Word of God. But, wait a moment, we will not be done with war. We will eventually have it, but this conquering of which I speak will not be a conquering that is related to war. It will not be a victory that is related to arms. It will be related to ideas. I would suggest to you that immediately after the church is raptured, this thing we have seen begun in our time will blossom into fruition, and it will become an intense war of ideas that will eventually accomplish the purpose that is the minds of men today. One world, one government, one religion, one world standing together. And I believe that this is the first thing that will happen in the early stages of the tribulation, typified by the rider on the white horse.